Welcome to the 1,841st edition of the Sid Vale and East Devon Talking Newspaper. We are recording in the Lee Brown Meeting Room in Sidmouth on Tuesday, the 8th of October. I am Marion Hines, your editor this week, and our readers are Jan Derbyshire, Geoffrey Ogden, Gerald Whedon and Jeremy Tanner. Our registrars are Jackie Godbeer and Zena Johnson, and Tony Charnock, our producer, will copy your memory stick, and a member of the team will mail it to you. Our thanks to the editors of the Midweek, Ottery and Sidmouth Heralds and Exeter Express and Echo, from which we have extracted today's news items, some of which have been abbreviated to allow us to cover as many items as possible. We have stories from the Colliford Medieval Goose Fair and a Bollywood film crew at the Harbour Hotel. Geoffrey will start with news features from Axminster and the Royal British Legion. So let us begin.
And this is Geoffrey starting with news from Axminster. Axminster held a fundraising event to start the town clock on Friday, September the 27th in the Minster Church. The Minster Church fundraising appeal is gradually working towards its target of £15,000. That's the total amount needed to repair the town clock, which is housed in the Minster Tower. Many local people have said how much they miss the hourly gongs of the town clock. To donate to the Start the Clock appeal, please use the following: gofund.me/63fdd666, or donations can be made in the Minster itself. Friday's fundraising gathering enjoyed coffee, tea and homemade cakes whilst all attendees were entertained by an internationally acclaimed concert pianist, Stephen Beville, who will be performing at a concert in the Minster later in the year. Those attending enjoyed coffee beneath the stained glass windows and the fascinating medieval wall painting, which has only recently been uncovered. A total of £224 was raised during the morning, which will go towards the appeal. A swimming pool manager in Axminster has completed a three-hour charity swim. Steve Buxton, manager of Flamingo Community Pool, swam for 3 hours and 17 minutes last weekend to raise money for the pool, which relies solely on customer revenue and fundraising. At times, Stephen didn't think he would make it, but through gritted teeth and with a strong sense of determination, he got to the finish line. He further thanked everyone who had so far sponsored him. Donations can be made at the Flamingo Community Pool reception, Lime Road, Devon, Axminster. This year, the Royal British Legion countrywide has been commemorating and celebrating the 80th anniversary of D-Day and Operation Overlord. D-Day, otherwise known as Operation Neptune, was the code name for the amphibious operation led by the Allied navies to land troops on five beaches on Normandy coast. Operation Overlord was the code name for the Battle of Normandy, the Allied operation that launched the successful liberation of German-occupied Western Europe during World War II. The operation was launched on June 6, 1944, with the Normandy landings and the invasion of Europe. These operations are only successful because lessons were learned from previous operations. Operation Jubilee, Dieppe, August 42. Operation Ironclad, Madagascar, May 42. Operation Torch, North Africa, November 42. Operation Husky, Sicily, July 43. Operation Avalanche, Salerno, September 43, Operation Shingle, Anzio, January 44, and during the Battle of North Atlantic. This year marks the 80th anniversary of D-Day, and next year will be the 80th anniversary of Victory in Europe, VE Day, and the Victory over Japan Day, VJ Day. To celebrate and commemorate the occasion, the Royal British Legion Axminster branch is launching its 2024 poppy appeal at the Minster at 6:30 p.m. on Saturday, October the 26th. Tickets are £10 each, available from the Archway Bookshop, Trinity Square, Axminster, and from ticketsource.co.uk/Axminster-Royal-British-Legion-Branch. By donating to the Royal British Legion, people are helping those in need within the armed forces community, serving and ex-serving personnel and their families. This event will include a concert by the Chard Concert Brand, featuring an evening of film, contemporary, military and reflective music from George Gershwin to those magnificent men in their flying machines.
Hello, this is Jan, and I have news from Sidmouth. Sidmouth Carnival took over the streets of Sidmouth on Saturday, the 28th of September, filling the town with colour, music and lights. Hundreds lined the streets to catch a glimpse of the illuminated carnival making its way through the town. The parade set off from Woolbrook Road at 7:30 p.m. and made its way down into town, ending on the seafront. There was a fun fair on the Ham, thanks to Roland's Fair, featuring twister rides, dodgems and a trampoline for the little ones. Holly Phillips, chair of the Carnival Committee, said, "The Carnival Committee would like to express our thanks to the many local groups that returned to this year's carnival. It was fantastic to see all the children having a good time in their creative costumes. It really gave a boost to the committee to have so many of you coming up and expressing your thanks for keeping this long-standing tradition going. Also, a big thank you to the many businesses this year that have got behind our carnival programme with sponsorship." And now football. Lewis Spalding took on the role of super sub as his hat-trick earned Sidmouth a 4-0 win at Torrington in the Peninsula League East. Sidmouth have lost only one game from 12 starts this season, sit in second place in the table, and have games in hand over leaders Columpton United. Torrington mounted some early pressure, and the game was soon held up for 30 minutes when Sidmouth's Jamie Vaughan Ryle picked up a serious arm injury. Sidmouth took the lead soon after in the restart, when a neat passing move led Ryan Gilpin to slip the ball through to substitute Spalding, who finished with a powerful drive. The visitors were forced to make another change at the break, but that did not interrupt the flow, and they netted a second goal on 51 minutes, when Spalding scored again with a crafty overhead kick. A superb through ball from Matt Salter then found Spalding on the break, and he beat a defender before completing his treble. With 5 minutes left, Craig Veal got in on the act with Sidmouth's fourth goal when he scored with a spot kick after handling a fence in the area. Film crews have taken over the Harbourview Hotel this week for the filming of a new Bollywood movie called Houseful 5. Filming started on Tuesday, October the 2nd, and it continues until October the 10th at the hotel and around Sidmouth, including the Manor Road car park. A nighttime shoot will take place on October the 9th, which finishes at 6 a.m. A letter has been sent to residents and business owners warning them of the disruption, and it was published on Facebook on Monday, September the 30th. It said, "Filming will begin on October the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th and 10th, with a night shoot happening on October 9th until 6 a.m. Our film shoot requires song and dance to be filmed, playback and music will be used. This only applies to the shoot dates on the 7th, 8th and 9th of October. The music will be significantly reduced overnight from 11 p.m. until 6 a.m. for the overnight shoot. As part of the filming, we will be using some of the Manor Road car park to park some of the film crew vans." Sajid Nadiawala's Houseful 5 is making history as the first Bollywood franchise to reach its fifth instalment. The comedy is being filmed on a cruise journey, taking the star-studded cast from London to France, Spain and back to UK over a 45-day shoot. Nadiawala is an award-winning Indian film producer, film director and screenwriter whose Houseful films began in 2010, and he became one of Hollywood's highest-grossing producers. The fourth edition was released in 2019. Houseful 5 boasts some of the biggest names in Bollywood. The film website says the release date for the film is on June 2025. A video promoting the donkey sanctuary to younger visitors is proving to be a hit on social media. The minute-long clip features visitor services assistant Dean Hancock, who is in his 60s, and he uses Gen Z slang as he guides viewers on a virtual tour of the Sidmouth Sanctuary. The Gen Z marketing script trend has gained traction on TikTok and Instagram, allowing organisations to market themselves to younger audience in a humorous way. So far, the video has received tens of thousands of views and many positive comments. One viewer stated that Percy, one of the donkeys, has main character energy. Another one said he wished he didn't live so far as Manchester so he could visit. Dean said, "It's great to be able to promote the sanctuary to the younger generation in this way, but I must admit I don't know what much of it means." Generation Z, or Gen Z, refers to people born between the late 90s and 2010. The video has been shared on TikTok and Instagram and has been very well received by younger audiences, with many commenting on its humour and creativity. Many businesses, charities and universities across the country have joined the trend, with videos gaining millions of views.
Hello, this is Gerald with news from Honiton and Colliford. Honiton carers have been busy with a range of community activities. The group enjoyed an arts and crafts afternoon on Wednesday, the 25th of September, led by Hazel Austin. Despite being a bit challenging for some, the session was enjoyed by all. Honiton carers also attended the East Devon Unpaid Carers Awareness Day at the Ocean in Exmouth. The event was organised by Devon Carers, a West Bank service for unpaid carers, and Wellmore from Moreton Hampstead, North East Dartmoor. Approximately 25 companies attended, offering support to unpaid carers and their families. A state-of-the-art device has been donated to help save the sight of people in a war-torn region of the Far East. Specsavers Honiton was approached by Dr. Philip Ambler, a volunteer for the charity Fiona's Eye Fund, who informed the staff about the plight of thousands of people being displaced in Myanmar due to ongoing military attacks. Dr. Ambler explained that many of those suffering on the Myanmar-Thai border could have their lives significantly improved if they had access to cataract surgery. In response, the High Street opticians donated a handheld keratometer, a device used to take precise measurements of a patient's eye before sight-saving operations. Dr. Ambler, who lives in Axminster, said, "We're intensely grateful to Specsavers Honiton for the donation of this essential equipment. Fiona's Eye Fund is a very small charity doing life-changing work, and we simply wouldn't be able to afford equipment like this. If one person loses their sight, another has to look after them. So then losing two people out of their limited economy, which in turn affects whole families. So this device will have a phenomenal effect, not only on individual lives, but also on whole communities." Dr. Ambler first went to Myanmar, formerly known as Burma, in 1990. And since then, he and his colleagues have treated thousands of eye problems, performing many sight-saving cataract surgeries. The efforts have been supported by the training of people to assist with the work, enabling more regular treatments. Farah Chaudhry, director of Specsavers Honiton, said, "We're delighted to be able to donate this equipment to Dr. Ambler and his colleagues. The work they're doing under very difficult circumstances is incredible. They really are making a difference in people's lives, and we're so pleased to be playing a small part in assisting with that. The annual Colliford Medieval Goose Fair was held on Saturday and was well attended, a crowd starting to gather early along the route of the costumed pageant that walked from the Elms to Springfield. Everyone in the procession had gone to town with their medieval-style costumes, and the walk was accompanied by minstrels and drummers. The event is a modern incarnation of an ancient Michaelmas goose fair for which King John granted a licence to the mayor in 1207. The current mayor of Colliford, Julian Thompson, opened the proceedings from a stage in the field, urging everyone to eat, drink and be merry. At the organisational helm were the chairman of the committee, Vaughan Jelly, and his wife, Anne, who was masterminding the considerable catering operation. The fair used to auction off geese, but in the 21st century iteration of the event, the titular element of the afternoon was represented by seven geese, safely corralled into a pen.
Hi, I'm Jeremy with news from Lyme Regis. Lyme Regis Museum has announced a range of activities for the October half term. The museum, which has been endorsed by Sir David Attenborough, will have events for all ages. On Sunday, October the 27th, there will be a session where visitors can learn about ammonites and polish their 200-million-year-old fossil to take home. Museum Collections and Engagement Officer Natalia Jagielska will run a dinosaur origami session on Tuesday, October the 28th. The highlight of the week will be the Spooktacular Night at the Museum, a Halloween event with crafts, torchlight tours, spooky stories, face painting and more. The museum is home to a range of fossils and maritime artifacts spanning 200 million years of history. Visitors can explore three floors of exhibits about the town's history, its famous writers, and its most famous fossil hunter, Mary Anning. The new Plesiosaurus 200 exhibition, celebrating 200 years since Mary Anning's groundbreaking discovery, is included in the admission price, as well as the current contemporary art exhibition. The Really Wild Show by Tricia Heyman, Museum Director Bridget Housego, said, "We are looking forward to welcoming visitors in the half term for a film-packed week of activities. We are also delighted to be opening the doors after dark for our Halloween Spooktacular to celebrate the creepiest night of the year." For more details about Lyme Regis Museum's October half-term program and to book tickets for the Spooktacular event, visit the museum's website. Seven friends have completed their fifth annual trek along the Liberty Trail. The Boots to Boats group finished their walk from Ham Hill near Yeovil to the Cobb in Lyme Regis, raising £730 for the RNLI. Mark Farrell, the walk's organiser, said, "We set off from Ham Hill on Friday morning and followed the historic route that villagers took to join the ill-fated Monmouth Rebellion in 1685. Once again, we collected money for the RNLI, a charity which we all truly believe in and which celebrates its 200th anniversary this year." The group consisted of Mark, his son Lewis, Nick Perry, Jack Barrow, Ashley Clark, Davy Thomas, and Jay Grammer. They were joined by their mascot, an 18-month-old puppy named Ace. Volunteer Petrina Musgrove said, "It was great to welcome the Liberty Trail walkers to the lifeboat station again, and we congratulate them on their efforts."
And now, a reminder of some of the regular activities and social events happening throughout the week. Sidmouth Voluntary Services at Twyford House, Coburg Road, have a morning cafe every weekday from 8:30 a.m. until 12 noon. The At a Loss Bereavement Group meet at the Presbytery Room, Radway Road, every Friday between 10:30 and 12. Tea and coffee available and a selection of craft activities. There is a welcome space at St. Teresa's Hall on the corner of Connaught Road every Monday from 11 a.m. until 1 o'clock. Free tea, coffee, biscuits, soup and a roll. A selection of tabletop games, jigsaws and craft items for those who might care to be involved. IT help at the library, 11 until 12 for quick fixes. One-to-one sessions on Wednesdays, 2 till 4, or Fridays, 10 a.m. till 12. The Citizens Advice Bureau is at Sidmouth Hospice at Home, 48 High Street, Sidmouth, on Tuesdays between 9:30 and 11:30 for a drop-in session. The Parental Minds Support Sessions at All Saints Church on Wednesdays between 10:30 and 12:30 is a safe place for parents or caregivers to be heard and to find information on family mental health support. Telephone 07 907 614 516. The Oasis Drop-In Cafe is at the Lee Brown Rooms at Dissenters of Sidmouth from 12 until 2 every Wednesday. Always a warm welcome and a cup of tea. On Thursdays, there is an antiques valuation afternoon at Kennaway House, Coburg Road. And for more information, telephone 01 392 413 100. Also on Thursday afternoons, the Sidmouth Forum meets at 3 o'clock. The speaker this week is Heather Hodge of the Sidmouth Amateur Dramatic Society. On Thursday evening, 10th of October at 7:30, in order to raise funds for Seton Cricket Club, Henry Blofeld has agreed to bring his stage show, My Dear Old Things, to the Gateway Theatre in Seton, where he reflects on his truly extraordinary life. Tickets are £30 and the show starts at 7:30. On Friday the 11th, there is a Devonshire Winter Lecture at the Manor Pavilion at 2:30. A talk on Devon's pioneering technologists by Colin White in association with the Science Festival, £3 or £4 for non-members. At Sidmouth Conservative Club on Friday the 11th of October, there is a Back to the 80s charity night. Come dressed in 80s style. Tickets from the club are £5 and proceeds are for the Sidmouth Lifeboat. And on Saturday, the 12th of October, Philip Leslie, a renowned British pianist, is set to open the new music season of concerts in the parish church. Tickets cost £18 and are available online at Paragon Books or on the door. And now, looking back in history, we remember some random events and people who have made headlines in this week for many, many years back, starting in 1535, Miles Coverdale's translation of the Bible was published. 1883, the Boys Brigade was founded in Glasgow by Sir William Alexander Smith. 1895, the deadpan hero of the silent screen, Buster Keaton, was born in Kansas. 1911, Britain's first escalators were introduced, connecting the district and Piccadilly platforms at Earl's Court Underground in London. 1957, Russia launched Sputnik 1, the world's first satellite. 1958, the first transatlantic passenger jet service began operating. In 1970, the American rock singer Janis Joplin died. She left $2,500 in her will so that her friends can get blasted when she's gone. And 2010, comedian and actor Sir Norman Wisdom died in a nursing home in the Isle of Man, aged 95. We continue with news from Newton Poppleford, Ottery St Mary, Seaton and Cranbrook, and Jeremy will close with reports of football success and firearms offences. But now, over to Geoffrey.
A new community larder is set to open in Newton Poppleford. The initiative aimed at reducing food waste will be available to residents of Newton Poppleford, Hartford and Venn Ottery. The larder will open on Wednesday, October the 23rd at the Meeting Place, St Luke's Church, from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. It will be open every Wednesday at the same time. Residents can donate surplus food at designated collection points at the allotments and at St Luke's Church porch. The larder will offer a guaranteed quantity of food each week. Teas and coffees will also be available. Work has begun to open up an undersized roadside culvert from Newton Poppleford and Venn Ottery to reduce future flooding in the town. The road into Venn Ottery from Newton Poppleford is closed for about 5 weeks while the work is carried out. The project has got underway as the Venn Ottery and Southerton Residents Association marks its 25th anniversary. The association started in 1999 after houses in Barton Mews of Venn Ottery were very nearly flooded. A meeting was held in Tipton St John Hall on October the 3rd, 1999, attended by nearly everyone living in Venn Ottery. The association agreed the constitution and members got to work.
Geoffrey.
Now, 25 years later, work has been approved to improve the culvert to take excess water to the floodplain or river, diverting it away from the village. Since founding the association, it has worked to get remedial action from various bodies, starting with East Devon District Council, South West Water, and later with Devon County Council and the Environment Agency. Houses in Barton Mews and nearby have been seriously flooded twice. In October 2008, with the flooding of 4 and 5 Barton Mews and Courtyard Cottage, which is now part of a house called Slightly Foxed, and in May 2023, when 1, 2, 3, 4 and 5 Barton Mews and part of Slightly Foxed were all very badly flooded. Garden Cottage had some flooding and garages and outbuildings in the area were affected. A cancer charity centre with a base in Ottery St Mary is celebrating 20 years of helping people. The Force Support and Information Centre opened its doors to the public in September 2004 and has since become a sanctuary for thousands of people across Devon and beyond. The centre was built on the grounds of the Royal Devon and Exeter Hospital Wanford site after a successful £900,000 appeal. In its first year, the centre had around 9,000 visits, nearly double the original projection. That figure rose to more than 20,000 within a relatively short space of time. Due to the high demand for support, a £350,000 extension was added in 2012 to provide larger rooms for support groups and classes. This was followed by an outreach programme taking support into the wider communities of Tiverton, Okehampton and Honiton, as well as funding outreach chemotherapy nurses. There have been around 250,000 visits into Force Centre since it first opened. It opens 5 days a week and is at the heart of the charity's operation, supporting cancer patients, their families, friends and carers, as well as healthcare professionals. Force aims to create a relaxed and welcoming atmosphere that offers a haven from the clinical environment of the hospital. The charity offers one-to-one counselling, complementary therapies, relaxation classes, exercise sessions, support groups, benefits advice, and an extensive library, all available free of charge. The centre is also Force's administrative headquarters. The pandemic created previously unimaginable change, including considerable financial challenges for the charity, but all of Force's services and outreach projects have restarted, with Honiton replaced by Ottery St Mary. Force CEO Merrill Fishwick said, "Thanks to the support of our incredible fundraising community and some generous grants, we're able to face the future and celebrate the first 20 years of our centre. Emma Ellis, who was initially a volunteer and is now a Force Oncology Support Specialist and lead for the charity's support and education programme, said, "I still feel as proud and excited today to be part of Force and continue to be inspired by the people I work alongside, our volunteers and the patients and families we walk alongside."
It's Jan again with news from Seaton and Cranbrook. The Seaton Memory Cafe has donated more than £4,000 to the Seaton and District Hospital League of Friends. The group, which was run by volunteers for 10 years, officially handed over the cheque for £4,450 on Monday, September the 3rd. The money will be ring-fenced for the Memory Cafe, which provides a safe space for people living with dementia and for their carers. Yvonne Addington, who ran the Memory Cafe for the last decade, handed over the cheque to Carol Rowe, secretary for the League, and Mary Bowles, the new facilitator of the monthly Memory Cafe meetings. Yvonne said, "It's with great pleasure that the former Seaton Memory Cafe, which was run by volunteers for 10 years, is now ready to hand over the reins to the Seaton and District Hospital League of Friends Memory Cafe volunteer team. We know that they will continue to support the people living with the effects of dementia. And we would like to say a huge thank you to all the people who have supported and made donations to the Seaton Memory Cafe, and sincerely hope that their support will continue with the League's team at the helm." The Memory Cafe meets on the first Monday of every month at Seaton Methodist Church Hall from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Any inquiries can be made by telephone 07394962387. Cranbrook launched its first mobility scooter scheme to improve accessibility. The ceremony, organised by Cranbrook Town Council, took place at the Young Hayes Centre. The new service aims to help residents and visitors navigate the town more easily, particularly to key locations like the award-winning Cranbrook Country Park. The initiative follows the recent opening of the Cranbrook Skate Park and Pump Track. Cranbrook's mobility scooter scheme is co-funded by Devon County Council, Live West and Move More Cranbrook. The launch event featured a ribbon-cutting ceremony by Cranbrook Town Councillors and project sponsors, with a demonstration ride to the country park. Mobility scooters have reportedly received positive feedback during its trial phase, with residents expressing appreciation for the boost in town mobility. Available for free hire on weekdays from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m, the scooters can be booked in two-hour slots. A new pump track in Cranbrook was officially unveiled at the weekend. The specially designed track is built for all levels of bicycle, BMX bike, scooter riders, roller skaters or skateboarders, and is free to use. The opening day saw demonstrations by professional BMX riders. Children and teens were then eager to test the track for the first time, taking part in games and competitions. Co-funded through a partnership between Cranbrook Town Council, East Devon District Council and Move More Cranbrook, a Sport England grants programme, Cranbrook Pump Track is the latest addition to the town's growing efforts to provide residents with accessible ways to stay active. Cranbrook Pump Track is managed by Cranbrook Town Council, and Councillor Les Bayliss, Chairman of the Cranbrook Town Council, said, "We remain committed to making the town a vibrant and enjoyable place for the residents. And once again, special thanks to East Devon District Council and Move More Cranbrook for their funding and support." The track is located at Cranbrook Country Park and offers a challenging course for all ages. Matt Rowett from Move More Cranbrook said, Watching all ages and abilities circle around the pump track was really exciting. The track not only provides a fun and free activity for the residents of Cranbrook, but also aligns with the Move More Cranbrook Initiative's goal of helping people incorporate physical activity into their daily lives. The pump track can be found at Cranbrook Country Park, EX5 3BA.
This is Gerald with more news from Sidmouth. A tree has been planted to honour a late councillor. On Sunday, a Japanese maple was planted in Knoll Gardens in tribute to John Dyson, who died earlier this year. The tribute was organised by Sidmouth Arboretum, Sidmouth Town Council and Friends of the Knoll. Councillor Kelvin Dent praised Mr Dyson for his service to East Devon District Council, Sidmouth Town Council and various local organisations, including the Folk Festival and Walking Festival. He also highlighted Mr Dyson's role in establishing the Sidmouth Arboretum and the Hopper Bus Service. Mr Dyson's family took part in the tree planting ceremony. Sidmouth Summer Play Festival 2024 at the Manor Pavilion Theatre has been hailed a success, with ticket sales and audience numbers returning to pre-pandemic levels. The festival has been running for more than 65 years. The theatre said it is the balance of heritage and excellence that keeps people returning each year. After the success of the season, both in ticket sales and performance quality, the artistic director, Paul Taylor Mills, and Andrew Beckett, the main producer, are already choosing the plays for next year. Councillor Nick Hookway said, "It's great to see the Manor Pavilion thrive. Audience numbers appear to be back to pre-pandemic levels, with box office takings at a record high." Reviewer and playwright Cormac Richards is writing a book about the history of the Rep Theatre in Sidmouth and would love to hear from members of the public if they have any pictures or news clippings from the play seasons from 1958 to 2012. He said, "The Manor Pavilion Theatre is unique in the history of UK theatre, being the venue to the longest running Rep season in the country. In the current climate of arts in the UK, it is reassuring to see a positive story and East Devon leading the way. May this Sidmouth gem live long and prosper." Sidmouth firefighters were among more than 10 fire crews from all around Devon who tackled a large fire which broke out at a recycling centre in Woodbury. The fire started at around 1:30 a.m. on Tuesday, September the 24th, at a recycling plant at Greendale Business Park. The fire was within a building containing some 12 tonnes of mixed non-hazardous waste and around 12 tonnes of cardboard. The building is owned by Suez, an Exeter-based recycling service. The fire service urged residents and businesses nearby to keep windows closed. The fire was extinguished in the afternoon and handed back to the business. A total of 10 engines helped tackle the fire. A nurse working at a care home struck by the COVID-19 outbreak during the pandemic, in which 7 residents died, refused to wear a face mask as they believed the virus was a conspiracy, an inquest heard yesterday. The residents who lived at Holmesley Care Home in Sidford all died in March or April 2021, having contracted coronavirus. Alison Longhorn, area coroner for Devon, Plymouth and Torbay, has resumed inquests into the deaths of William Wilkinson 102. Doris Lockett, 92. Roy Gilliam, 96. Jean Hartley, 81. Susan Skinner, 70. Ronald Bamfield, 92. And Stanis Watlawa Koch, 93. Gemma Turner, the nursing home's deputy manager and registered nurse, told the hearing she was telephoned in the early hours of March the 2nd, 2021, by a care worker saying there was a suspected outbreak. I said, "Where's the nurse?" And she said, "He's refusing to wear a mask, and he's saying that COVID is a conspiracy."
Hi, Jeremy again with news from Devon and East Devon. Firefighters in Devon and Somerset are taking longer to get to fires than they did a year ago, new figures show. The Fire Brigades Union said the fire service is in crisis after years of austerity and fragmentation, with fewer firefighters and cuts to key resources. Home Office data shows the average response time of the Devon and Somerset Fire and Rescue Service for primary fires was 10 minutes and 29 seconds in the year to March. This was longer than the year before, when it stood at 10 minutes and 24 seconds. It was also slower than 10 years ago, when the average response time was 10 minutes and 8 seconds. There were more than 10,000 hospital admissions for patients with obesity in Devon last year, new figures show, as the number of admissions for obesity rose across England. Campaign group Action on Sugar said it was evidence of a growing public health challenge and called for the government to take action against unhealthy food advertising. New NHS digital figures show obesity was the primary or secondary cause of around 11,250 hospital admissions for patients in Devon in the 2023 financial year. This was up from the year before, when there were around 9,640 admissions. Nationally, admissions have increased 8% since last year, when there were 1.1 million recorded. Earlier this month, the government confirmed it will introduce legislation to ban companies advertising products deemed high in fat, salt and sugar on TV before 9 p.m. It was also include a total ban on paid-for online adverts for these products. Devon and Cornwall saw more firearms offences in the year to March than in any year since 2008, new figures show. Gun-related crime has increased for a third year in a row across England and Wales, although it remains below pre-pandemic levels. Figures from the Home Office show Devon and Cornwall Police recorded 179 firearms offences in the year to March, up from 143 the year before, and the highest figure since records began in 2007-08. Exeter City Football Club has appointed Joe Gorman as the club's new chief executive. The club said Mr. Gorman, who joined the club as chief financial officer last October, brings a variety of experience in multiple industries. As chief executive, he will be responsible for the strategic direction and operational management of the club. He will work closely with the board of directors to develop long-term strategies. Mr. Gorman takes over from Jeremy Tipper, who was appointed interim chief executive last year. Nick Hawker, chair of Exeter City Supporters Trust, which owns the club, said, "We are delighted that Joe has accepted the position of chief executive." He added, "My thanks to Jeremy for his dynamic leadership over this period." Indeed, Joe's appointment is a significant outcome of Jeremy's strategic succession planning. In addition, he has brought in several new roles at the Cliff Hill Training Ground with a focus on improving the performance on the pitch. Over 8,000 over-80s in Honiton and Sidmouth are at risk of losing winter fuel payments due to the government's cuts, the latest official statistics have revealed. Liberal Democrats have called on the government to change course in the face of these new statistics, saying that ministers must protect vulnerable pensioners, with thousands at risk of not being able to keep warm this winter. Analysis of the new data shows that in Honiton and Sidmouth, 8,141 pensioners aged over 80 who were previously in receipt of pension credit will lose their winter fuel payment unless they receive other benefits. All those aged over 80 were previously entitled to £300 each to support them with their energy bills. In total, 25,921 pensioners in Honiton and Sidmouth do not receive pension credit and are also at risk of losing support due to the government's cuts. Nationally, Age UK has said that 2.5 million pensioners will be in serious trouble this winter due to the cutting of the payments. The Liberal Democrats have called on the government to reverse the proposals and protect vulnerable pensioners this winter. Liberal Democrat MP for Honiton and Sidmouth, Richard Ford, said, "Thousands of people in Mid and East Devon are desperately worried about how they will make ends meet this winter. Vulnerable older pensioners shouldn't be racked with worry, these figures are deeply worrying. I have heard countless stories from those who now say they will have to choose between staying warm or putting food on the table as a result of this government's decision. Cutting these payments for thousands who are barely getting by is the wrong decision." Work and Pensions Secretary Liz Kendall said the government has done more to help the poorest pensioners in the last 2 months than the Tories did in 14 years, as she defended the cuts. She said focusing winter fuel payments on the poorest pensioners wasn't a decision we wanted or expected to make, but when we were faced with a £22 billion black hole from the Tories, we had to act.
Well, that is all we have for you this week, but just a reminder about sunrise and sunset. Any time after 7:30 in the morning is a good time for opening your curtains, and 7 o'clock in the evening to close them. Please return your pouch and memory stick promptly, and it is a great help if you can post it in a pillar box rather than handing it in to a post office counter, and we are very grateful to Royal Mail for their free delivery service. Should you wish to contact us, do not hesitate to call Wendy on 07522 766 382. Leave a message and Wendy will return your call. There is a website where these recordings can be heard using a computer, iPad or smartphone, and the address is www.eastdevontalkingnewspaper.co.uk. Thank you for your company, and here's to the next time. Goodbye. Bye.